What happens when the ground beneath your feet disappears? At 20, April Rin lost both parents in a car accident. In an instant, her entire world, her sense of security, her future plans, her very identity vanished. Most of us will never face such devastating loss, yet we're all experiencing a collective version of it right now. The workplace is transforming, climate patterns are shifting, careers that seemed secure are evaporating. Technology is rewriting the rules faster than we can learn them. We're living through a moment when change has never been faster, yet will never again be this slow. The question isn't whether change will disrupt your life, but whether you'll let it destroy you or transform you. The difference lies not in avoiding uncertainty, but in fundamentally reimagining your relationship with it. We've been sold a lie. Moving faster solves everything. Companies demand instant responses, next-day deliveries, relentless productivity. We've traded joy for efficiency, measuring worth by output. Harvard researchers found we spend 47% of waking hours thinking about what isn't happening, and that was before smartphones. Millennials have become the burnout generation, proving that running faster only increases misery. The counterintuitive truth? When the finish line keeps moving, speed just exhausts you sooner. The Dutch practice Niksen, doing absolutely nothing without purpose or productivity. Not meditation, that's still doing something, but genuine emptiness. Research shows this reduces anxiety, strengthens immunity, and improves problem solving. Chinese Buddhism calls it Wu Wei, a selective passivity that adapts rather than controls. When you optimize for presence instead of productivity, something remarkable happens. You actually have more time. One fully present meeting outvalues 1,000 distracted ones. Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman's research confirms what elite athletes know. The ability to observe, process, and act at the last possible moment produces better decisions than rushing. The alternative to FOMO isn't discipline, it's JOMO. The joy of missing out. The Zulu greeting Sawubona means I see you, recognizing your full humanity, dignity, and dreams. This deeper seeing requires expanding beyond the immediately visible. Rice farmers need extensive cooperation through complex irrigation systems. Wheat farmers work independently. When change arrives, we default to these cultural scripts, determining what we see and what remains invisible. Privilege blinds us most effectively. Harvard professor Laura Hung discovered MBA reading lists overwhelmingly featured white male authors. Todd Satterston's 100 best business books of all time included zero authors of color. The periphery, what's been marginalized, is where real transformation begins. Forces shaping the future always emerge from the margins before going mainstream. Peripheral vision isn't just about seeing more. It's about reducing anxiety and discovering hidden solutions. When anxious, your peripheral vision literally shrinks, creating tunnel vision that narrows reality itself. Our society has trained us to see people as consumers rather than citizens, a shift that happened only about a century ago following mass marketing's advent. The original meaning of consume is to destroy. When we're treated as mere consumers, it shapes how we think, behave, and perceive possibility. Getting lost terrifies us because we equate it with failure. But being lost can yield magnificent results, discovering unexpected places, reorienting your compass, widening perspective. When Rinna lost her parents, she felt completely disoriented. This painful experience revealed that being lost isn't doom, it's an invitation to write a new script. The Western view of crisis implies catastrophe. Chinese Weiji combines danger with change point, suggesting possibility within challenge. Tibetan Bardo describes the transformative gap between worlds. Japanese Kintsugi finds beauty in broken things repaired with gold. When Nordic countries faced Industrial Revolution upheavals, they created Building, an educational ecosystem helping people explore their inner worlds during massive change. About 10% participated, spreading resilience throughout society. There's even a word for intentional lostness, cattywampus, to travel purposefully toward an as-yet unknown destination. A cattywampler rejects fixed milestones, understanding that it and there constantly evolve. That's not confusion, that's life.
We've normalized mistrust so thoroughly, we barely notice it anymore. Children are taught not to talk to strangers. Professionals are tracked by technology. Relationships are governed by legal contracts. This pervasive suspicion disconnects us and destroys curiosity. When we design systems from mistrust, we destroy brilliance. Team brainstorms that force people to stay in their lane stem from mistrust, shutting down genius. Inequality breeds mistrust. In the U.S., CEO-to-worker pay ratios ballooned from 8-to-1 in 1958 to 320-to-1 in 2019, creating cultures of suspicion. Indigenous wisdom offers alternatives. For millennia, humans managed common resources communally, not taking all eggs from a nest so birds would return next year. Trust-based design creates abundance. Wikipedia allows anyone to edit. Netflix's expense policy is 5 words. Act in Netflix's best interests. Microfinance loans to unbankable clients achieve exceptional repayment rates. Start with a trust audit, identifying where trust is high, low, or non-existent. Err on the side of openness. Share budgets, salaries, metrics. When people feel trusted, they reciprocate with creativity and productivity. The ancient concept of enough meant having sufficient to carry, rooted in human scale and needs. The Greek root enenkin means to carry. What a person could carry was enough. Modern consumerism shifted us from enough to satisfy to perpetual insufficiency. The word economy comes from Greek oikos, meaning home, originally signifying abundance. Before the 1980s, companies commonly shared profits with workers. This changed when focus shifted to quarterly returns for investors. We're wired to chase more, yet Daniel Pink's research reveals most people are motivated by autonomy, mastery, and purpose, not money. We're addicted to success, running on the hedonic treadmill, where satisfaction quickly fades. Instead of constantly adding, consider subtracting. Unsubscribe from newsletters, remove apps, end negative relationships, decline invitations, let go of guilt, sell unused items, rest when tired. Ancient cultures rarely speak of happiness, preferring contentment. Happiness depends on external circumstances and is fleeting. Contentment comes entirely from within and can be permanent. The Bhutanese concept of choksai, the knowledge of enough, represents the highest achievement of well-being, recognizing that everything is perfect as it is. In a world selling certainty through apps and 5-year plans, we've forgotten a liberating truth. No one knows what tomorrow holds. Real control comes from letting go of the perception of control. The Sanskrit concept of aparigraha, non-attachment, non-grasping, represents the highest form of human strength. It's releasing everything that doesn't help you be your best self, including expectations and fears about the future. Letting go of the future requires 3 shifts. Move from prediction to preparation by recognizing multiple possible futures. Shift expectations from things will go to plan to plans will change. Embrace life's mysteries instead of demanding certainty. This doesn't mean abandoning agency. You can still learn, create, decide, and grow. While you can't control outcomes, you control your contributions to them. People clinging to what was or believing they can control what's next easily derail. Those who release what no longer is and give the future space to emerge will thrive. Your power lies not in resisting the current, but in learning to navigate it, not by holding tighter, but by opening your hands. That's not surrender, that's strength.